Good morning.
Hey, Lynn.
it's so good to be here, and I do want to thank Al and Casey for having us. We were burning on Friday and Saturday from 6 p.m. Friday night to 6 p.m. on Saturday night. And so, you know, we're plowing, you know, through the night, crying out for Rochester and New York, America, and, you know, a whole generation. And so to come into this house this morning, I just feel so refreshed. Like, I really do. The presence of God is so strong in your worship. And it wasn't just the presence of God that I was experiencing, but I was just experiencing these waves of love, you know? And I just feel like this is a tribe, a community, a clan of people that really love one another and honor one another. And it was just refreshing to my spirit after, like, getting not a lot of sleep this weekend to be here, you know? And I came in this weekend, and in honesty, I'm like, Lord, you're strong in our weakness. And, so thank you. Thank you. And it's just, you know, I'm so happy that Roger's here. He leads a burn 24/7 now in Oroville, California. And I could say so much as far as what this brother does, but I don't love what he does, but I love who he is. Oh, I will. Yeah. Well, he's in Rochester because he was burning with us throughout the weekend, but he's going to be our keynote speaker at the Sanctity of Life Gathering. Once a year, Bound for Life Rochester, we rally the corporate body in Rochester to gather as one voice and one body and to cry out for the ending of legalized abortion. And at this gathering, we educate and we equip, but more importantly, we empower, you know, one another to be an active voice for life. Because it's one thing to be pro-life, but then it's another thing to, you know, be the agent of change that is really making a difference in the spheres of circles that God has, you know, given us. And whether it's not, you know, getting involved in the prayer and intercessory movement or volunteering at a crisis pregnancy center or, you know, getting involved in, like, the political aspect of it, there's so many areas, you know, where the body of Christ can you know, serve the king in seeing this injustice come to an end. And but while we're there, too, we celebrate life, you know, and Roger's going to drop a word. And I just believe that we're all going to leave changed and transformed. So, that's at Bethel Christian Fellowship on East Avenue in the city at 6:00 p.m. I would, you know, encourage all of you to come. It will change your lives forever. Roger leads a burnout in California. He's a spiritual son to Lou Engel. But what's so awesome about this man is just his heart that he has for the presence of God, because it truly is the presence that brings breakthrough. And I feel like that he just really is a prophetic voice to, you know, a generation. And he really just, you know, has a message pertaining to the whole house of prayer movement and how it's intercession that really makes a difference in the earth. So I'm going to have Roger come up and share with us. Thanks, man.
I'm so honored to be here. We got to be with Crystal and Brandon's crew burning all Friday night and Saturday. We're supposed to get here. I was supposed to get here at 6:00. I'm used to saying I really miss my daughter and my family today. So I have a lot of love sickness in my heart. I miss them, but it's good to be here. But I'm supposed to be here at 6:00 on Thursday, but I got in at 12:40 and p.m. But thank you, Delta, for getting me here. But anyways, it's just been good to be with people that are going after the presence of God and making that the primary thing. You know, Jeremiah has a rebuke that he gives, that you hewn out broken cisterns and you forsake the fountain of living water. And so to see a generation all over the world, you know, and a generation can be everybody that's living. And we have deep honor in our heart for every person that's plowed and given their hearts to go after the presence of God. There's a paradigm shift that's happening in the earth. And so to come and be with Brandon's crew and to be able to covenant with them for Rochester and let their dream get on me and become part of me so I can take it home and let it be part of our Oroville House of Prayer. It's a big deal. And so I just honor Brandon. And I just feel the Father heart in you. What's your name again? Al? Yeah, I feel the Father heart in Al. I feel the Father heart of God. And it just rocks me to feel such a place where it's honoring of people and creating a safe place for people to grow and touch the heart of God. And so, Lord, I just thank you so much, God, for the presence that's already here. God, for the prophetic community, God, that you're birthing here. God, that you're growing, God, that's crossing over. Lord, I feel the affection, Lord, that Al has, Lord, for Brandon. And I just feel the affection that he has for younger people. And God, I just pray that you would pour into him double, God. God, a double portion grace, God, to impart all that he is. In Jesus' name. Work out to make that happen. I got all this stuff in my spirit, so I'm going to try to see how it lands. My wife and I lead a house of prayer in Oroville. It's called Hope House of Prayer for Everyone. And my friend Larry Hayden graciously opened the door for us to be in this ministry called the Hope Center, where they're feeding the poor like 4 times a week. And they just believe that the gospel's not just for people that are already saved. And they really have lived their lives, practically pouring out their lives for that to happen. Yeah. What's that? Don't argue with me. But you know what I'm rocked the most by? I'm just rocked by Jesus. I mean, you have to do all those typical introduction things, you know, to make people feel nice and whatever, you know who you are. But you know, I'm rocked that I'm saved. I'm rocked that I knew Jesus as a kid. You know, he called me out to be a preacher, and then I ran far from him, you know, my own rejection and pain and struggle of life and just saying yes to sin, all that pain opened the door for me to run far from God. But, you know, I grew up, you know, my starts of life were really intense. My mother had an abortion on the same day that my father went to kill himself. And so I was thrown into life in a real intense, this is what life gave me. But in the midst of that's what life gave me, my family ended up meeting God. And we moved right across the street from a church and right next door to a pastor. And the pastor would hear my mom and dad screaming and fighting. And my dad would go to the bar. I call him dad. My stepfather took me up and called me his son and never once treated me like I was different. He didn't treat his other sons like they were better. And so I just call him dad so that you don't get confused. That's why I call him dad. But he would go and he would get drunk at the bar and he would come home and my mom and dad would scream and yell. And my mom would put me in the car and say, we're going to grandma's house to move away. But in the midst of all that, God broke into my mom's heart. And she was getting ready to go to church, even though she was drinking and smoking marijuana. She was still starting to go to church. And before she went to church, the Lord spoke to her, hey, why don't you smoke some weed before you go to church? And my mom just said, what? I would never do that. And then the Holy Spirit just said, of course you wouldn't. So why do you do it at all? And it just convicted her and she began her journey into Jesus. But I just remember like the intensity of my life. My brother, my mom remarried. And I had 3 brothers, and they came from a really gnarly divorce. And so my brothers hated my mom, and my mom was, you know, like 20, trying to raise, you know, my family. And in the midst of all that, she found Keith Green, and she found the presence of God. And I remember my mom washing the dishes, just weeping, you know. This is how I got a heart of passion for Jesus, is she'd be weeping, going through the struggles of low finances, 5 kids and little bit of money. And she would just be weeping, touching the presence of God. And I'll never forget one time, I'm a crier and I'm a yeller and I'm a whatever. Anyways, one time she told me, she said, the one cry that I have for you guys, for my children, is that I would be able to be a voice, and I would just be able to point you at Jesus and say, don't you see him? Isn't he beautiful? And that passion for Jesus at a young age that marked my heart, I haven't been able to shake it, though I fell away from Jesus and came back at 21. That passion has been the thing that's marked my life. And my mom, she steadily cried out and prayed, and then I ended up coming back to Jesus at 21 as an anti-racist skinhead, a skinhead that thought that beating up Nazis would stop racism. And I came back to my hometown to sell drugs and buy guns and manipulate my pastor into marrying me and this girl, and it didn't work out quite that way. What ended up happening was I got tired of having demons. And I listened to this message, and it was about a father and son singing songs together. And it reminded me of when I was a kid and when I used to pour out my heart to Jesus so much so that I'd get overcome with the Holy Spirit, and I couldn't shake it. I would just get like high, and I would go and tell my mom, Mom, I feel high. She's like, what's high? I was like, well, it's, you know, that stuff that my uncle smoked, you know? She said, oh, yeah, that's definitely, you know, has a funny smell. She says, yes, that's high. Okay. You feel high. And I would just get overcome with the Holy Spirit when I would sing. And so I listened to this thing about a father and son singing. And it smashed my heart, and I got wrecked with the love of God. And I went to church that next day, and I tried to sing the songs that I used to sing, and I didn't feel the presence of God. And I ended up going up to the altar, and this little old pastor took me in the back and drove the demon out, drove the demons out of me. And I started my journey back to Jesus. But my mom said that she, one time when I was in juvenile hall, she went and she got this picture. And it was of me in an angel costume because I experienced God when I was a kid. He had called me out even though I fell away later. And it was me in this angel costume singing. And the Lord woke her up after she had had a terrible time with me in juvenile hall. It was like one of the worst times. And she was crying and crying and crying. And she went to bed brokenhearted. And she woke up and the Lord reminded her of that picture and said, you go get that picture. You put it by your bed because that's who he is. So being part of a 24/7 house of prayer, being part of the worship movement, I want to give honor to mothers that travail in birth until Christ is formed in their children. That it's a high honor. It says that he'll save the captives. It says in Isaiah 49. It says he'll contend with those who contend with you, and he'll save your children. Yeah. So if this is a word that you need to lay hold of, that God is a contender, and as much as you've been contending for your children, God is an even greater contending. And he'll bring breakthrough. And when he brings breakthrough, it'll be above and beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. I was reminded of this story of the woman at the well. You know, the woman at the well, she comes, Jesus comes and asks her to get a drink of water. And the woman's like, I don't got nothing to drink. And Jesus was like, oh, if you knew the gift of God, you know, I would give you living water. And then he begins to prophesy to her, go get your husband. And she says, well, I'm not married. And he says, that's right. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with isn't your husband. And what Jesus did, and then she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Teach me about worship. And I was asking the Lord about this house because I feel such the prophetic, yeah, it's strong. But the evangelism thing is strong on the house. I said, Lord, I don't quite get it. And he says, and he just highlighted that scripture. And he says, this is Jesus's prophetic nature. Because she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And the gift of evangelism operates with the prophetic because it reads the heart of people and says, what you really want isn't a husband. What you really want is living water. Yes. And you find out that it's true because it bubbles up out of our heart. You're a prophet. I want to know about worship. So Lord, I just ask you that you would bless the prophetic gift that's on this house. You have a grace for evangelism. You have a grace to call people and read their mail and read their heart. The prophetic and evangelism are connected. And you're a prophetic house. You probably already know that. But that was a mystery I didn't know until he told me, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." That's what Jesus does. And some of you are called to go and speak the word of the Lord to people. Not some, all of you are. And I'm just going to ask for that grace to be released. Jesus, I ask you that you would release that grace in a greater measure here, God. Father, I thank you that it's already in the house, God. Lord, that they're already evangelistic. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the prophetic, Lord, that calls people to the place of worship. You want to start a worship movement? Go and read people's mail. You want to start a worship movement? Go and read their mail. Speak to the deep place of their heart. They only got five husbands because they're thirsty. They only are living in sin and darkness and rebellion and this identity crisis of homosexuality. It's what it is. It's an identity crisis. They're living in that because they're thirsty. They want to know about worship. The prophetic movement is called to break the power of sin. To destroy the deceit, to destroy the deception of what they're giving their lives to. Because it ain't water in their heart and it's not sustaining them. The word of the Lord, the thing where you reveal what God's like, what's the prophetic? The prophetic is when you're communicating the word made flesh. The word made flesh. And this is what you're called to do as a body. This is what the church is called to do. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman. The word became flesh and we beheld his glory. Every time you step in the room, you are carrying the word that became flesh. And you are, Bill Johnson says this thing all the time. We owe the word, world an encounter with God. And every time you're at the checkout line, or every time you're on Facebook, or every time you're on the cell phone with your family, you're carrying the word that was made flesh. And you're carrying the tenderness of a God that didn't just rebuke her over her husbands. But he said, "You're thirsty, honey, you're thirsty. You don't even know, honey, you're thirsty. You got this thirst and you've had five husbands, but let me tell you about this." And she says, "I want to know about worship." When you tell them about how much God affectionately cares about their personal life, that he knit them together in their mother's womb, that they were created with purpose and destiny, that there's a father that says, "This is my beloved son and daughter." When you communicate God's heart for people, their response will be worship. And you see it in the Bible, right? Revelations 5. And you know, they open the scroll and say, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Because you redeemed for God out of every nation, tongue, and tribe." Out of every nation, tongue, and tribe are going to be a people that have experienced Jesus' love. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What's your story? Do you tell it? I told my story, but do you tell your story? Most of the time we relegate testimony to testimony time. I don't want my testimony to be testimony time. Yeah, there's the initial salvation, but what has he done in your life? Yes. It's the bread of heaven. Yes. What he's done in your life will feed the masses. It'll feed the broken in heart. And I call you to the place of evangelism. As much as I can call you as a visiting speaker. But I call you to the place of demonstrating the word that was made flesh. I'm tempted every time I preach to preach about the beauty of the King. My heart is overwhelmed with the good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Have you been rocked with the passion that Jesus has for you? And he poured out his life on the cross. We took communion. But out of this common union, oh, what if communion tables were set up at the mall? Not literally, maybe literally, but because you came with this broken body and shed blood, you came with your healed heart, and you came with your life. And you spoke like the disciples, they said, you know, when they were, you know, when the Pharisees, they, you know, they had just healed the cripple at the Gate Beautiful. And they called John and the other, I think of Peter and John in. They call them in. And they're talking to him and, you know, they say, hey, don't preach in Jesus' name anymore. And they leave and they say, man, we can tell that these guys have been with Jesus by the way they talk. What if the world says, oh, we can tell the church is for real. By the way they talk about him, they know him. They know him. No, they got saved. They were hurting. Their families were busted. We got the bread of life. We have the extension. We are his hands and his feet. You know, and when I, this prophecy is for, is the bread. Fresh bread. Yes. Fresh bread is not just for the church. Fresh bread is for people that need fresh bread too. They're starving out there. You know, one of the prophetic encouragements that you have that encourages you for a week or a month, maybe would encourage them to get saved. Maybe would encourage them to change their life forever. I didn't expect to preach this. That's okay. You guys cultivate the prophetic, so I just trust them stepping into something. I personally am broken. I want to see people get to know his love. Trying to find the friend at midnight real quick. Probably just going to tell the story. Jesus tells a parable. And in the parable, he says, which one of you would have a friend who would come to your house at midnight? And you, realizing that you don't have bread, would go to your other friend and you would go pound on his door. You say, listen, I have a friend that's weary from his traveling. And I don't got any bread. And you're pounding on his door. And then you're really pounding on the door. And then finally he opens because of your desperation. And he says he doesn't open the door just because they're friends. He says he opens the door because of their desperation. And I have this in my heart that there would be an opening of a door. That we would see an open door and people would get bread from heaven. Jesus said, we don't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is how Jesus overcame temptation. And this is how people are going to get out of sin. Bread that comes out of the mouth of God. We don't live on bread alone, but if we in desperation seek God's heart for a word in season to speak to those who are weary, Isaiah 54, he will do it. And so I charge you to ask God to give you something fresh that you would be able, when you're in the grocery line, just expect it. Just wake up. I'm going to start expecting. I'm just going to wake up and say, Lord, you gave me the word of the Lord. I get to encourage the church. But Father, I desire today that when you would, that you would give me something for somebody that isn't saved. And then you just press in. And then you get a word of knowledge about Tom who has a hurt ankle. Expect you're going to see Tom. Maybe it's not that extravagant. God said, you're going to tell somebody that I love you, you know. Tell them I love them. You're in the grocery store line. You tell them I love them. And they were wondering if anybody loved them in the whole planet. And they start weeping. But that we would just take our heart and we just say, God, use the gift of prophecy like what you did when you were at the woman at the well. It's encouraging, the gift of prophecy. It's a gift from heaven. But you have the ability to show the Lord as a prophet. As a church, you have a special grace to show the Lord as a prophet. It's something you've cultivated to expect to hear the word of the Lord. So just turn it toward him. I was actually not even going to go there, but I did. I want to read this verse. If you endure chastening, God deals with this. Is Hebrews 12:7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father doesn't chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers. You can read that for yourself. I'm not going to read it. But listen, this is verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And I felt like that was the word of the Lord for some. Some have been like going through hard time and the Lord's been chastening you. He's been correcting you on things. He's been checking your heart. And it says that we go through things so that he can prove our faith. The testing of our faith is to prove our faith, which is more precious than gold. And if you've been going through correction and chastening, know that it's the Father heart of God towards you. That he wants you to be partakers of full. That the husbandman is the Father. And he cuts tenderly. When he prunes, he does it so gently. Because his desire is that you would walk in fullness. And so I don't know if that's anybody. But I know that he corrects me. But if there's anybody that has felt like, you know, God is dealing with me, the Holy Spirit's checking me, know that it's his Father heart. Know that it's his tender heart. He wants you to be a partaker with him of holiness. He wants you to bring forth fruit that remains because he chose you. That you would bring forth fruit that remains. Amen. What's your name, man? Alan, I don't know if you already have a heart for prayer, but I felt like there was something on your life for a spirit of prayer. And I actually saw men gathering together and praying. And so I just want to share that word with you. I just feel like you have something to rally men and to put courage in their heart for their families and courage in their heart for breakthrough. So I'm going to pray that. It's Alan. God, I thank you for Alan. And I just ask you that you would breathe holy fire on his heart in a greater way. God, that thing that turns the hearts of the fathers back to the children. The spirit of Elijah, God, you would strengthen that in him, God. Lord, you would see fathers, God, walk in who they're called to be. I haven't even seen the movie Courageous, but I feel like you have that type of thing on your life. That you grab the hearts of men and say, give your life for your family. Give your life for your wife. Give your life for them walking in who they're called to walk in. To really call men into giving birth into their destiny as priests and prophets and ones that speak life over their family and call out destiny. You're a father prophet in that sense, man. I'm all over the place. I'm tempted to apologize. Okay, I won't. Do you mind if I pray for you? Is that okay? It's not a profound maybe, but Lord, I just thank you, God, for what I already said, God, when I started in the hustle, God, of trying to get it done fast. I don't know that my heart was heard, but Father, I just ask you, Lord, that you would honor a father, Lord, that honors others, God, or that honors the younger generation. And Lord, I pray, God, for an increase. Lord, he's like Simeon, God, he's waited, Lord, to see the fulfillment, God, of a prophetic people, a prophetic generation, God. God, he has the courage, God, to encourage others that call the things that are not as if they are. And Lord, I just ask you, God, for an increase of courage and an increase of love. Lord, what my pastor used to always tell me is let love hit its mark. And I pray that love would always hit its mark through Al. Lord, that his heart, Lord, you would enlarge his heart. Lord, enlarge his capacity to love. Lord, enlarge his capacity to give. Lord, enlarge his capacity, Lord, to wash the feet of the saints. What I felt like for you, and I don't have to just put my hand on, what I felt like for your pastor was that there's something on your life, Al. I felt like there's something on your life to encourage the church of this area and to wash their feet with the prophetic word of the Lord. And I felt like there was an anointing on you guys to pray for pastors and leaders that are in the area. And my heart of exhortation wants to see you take this prophetic gift and sow it into the body of Christ that's in the region, because you're carrying something that's going to bring breakthrough. And it's like when people are frozen in motion, like when an engine seizes or something, there's a grace to see the engine not seized anymore through the prophetic word of the Lord. That you got, that there would be something of you guys rallying behind your pastor. You know, and praying that there would be the fresh word of the Lord. And all you guys carry the word of the Lord. Yeah, but there's an open door for you. And I don't know if there's already pastor meetings or leader meetings or whatever. If they're not, whatever. But I feel like there's something that you already carry the word of the Lord. And I want to encourage you, you have something that they need. You have the voice of prophecy that's going to encourage their life. And the voice of prophecy is going to come too from you guys. You're going to carry something fresh for the region, and you're going to share it, and he's going to take what you guys carry. But you serve the body of Christ here with the word of the Lord. You have a special place in the heart of God. And I've lived in a prophetic community. My wife and I led a little community in San Francisco where, you know, what we did was we gathered together. Really, we were praying for a breakthrough in San Francisco. But I remember I was going to use the restroom. And as I went to use the restroom, we had all these interns come in. And the Lord said, if you build them, then I'll build the house. And so what we would do at times is we would just get a circle of chairs, and we would just have the people in a circle of chairs, and we would say, okay, we want, you know, there would be times we'd be crying out and then people would be discouraged. So we would circle up and we'd be like, what is the word of the Lord? What has God spoken to your heart? What are the things that God's people have prophesied over you? What is that? And they would share it, and we would turn the prayer meeting into a time of warring for the personal prophetic words, knowing that as we war for the personal prophetic words, we're building the house. And it says in Hebrews 3:13, I'm going to read it to you. It says, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest your heart is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So this is your calling. Exhort one another daily. You know what the gift of exhortation is? The gift of exhortation is the anointing to rally together. Lou, my spiritual father, walks in the grace of exhorting. Yeah, he's a prophet, but it manifests a lot of times in exhorting. And so when you encourage, it destroys rejection, it breaks insecurity, it destroys people living in isolation, and it brings a rallying together. So rally one another to be with one another together daily. Find out, do the art of the loving interview. Find out what people's dreams are, what the things that God's spoken, what their struggles are. But don't just camp on the struggle. A lot of times we pray for each other, we're praying about the struggle. Find out what the prophetic thing in the midst of the struggle is and begin to contend for the greater thing, which is the breakthrough, the answer. But walk with each other in that. Hebrews 11. I'm going to preach a lot of duh things. Actually, stop apologizing, son. Okay, this is Hebrews 10. Listen to this. This is Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 14. Says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him unless you have the interpretation. That was awesome today. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You know what the word edification means? To build up. I think it's in the book of Ezra. I think it says that the temple was rebuilt through the prophesying of Haggai and this other guy. The temple was rebuilt. So you know what you do when you prophesy to one another, when you encourage one another? You build up. You want to build the church of this area? Build up the congregation here and then build them up. edification, exhortation. I already told you what that is. That's that rally. That's that like Braveheart speech, you know? You know, the guy that gives the Braveheart speech, you know? I'm going to quote a little bit of it. What is it? Hold on. I love that movie. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom, you know? And you see the crowd, oh, you know, they're, we'll die. We'll do this thing. That's the gift of exhortation, is that rallying trumpet. It is somewhat what you were carrying. It's a gift of exhortation. You were exhorting your crew into it, the church into crossing over. That was it actually says it's what draws the army close to God. To exhort means to draw the army near. This is a great analogy, is that Braveheart one. And then the other one is comfort. When you speak the in-season word to somebody, and it may not even feel in season, how many times have you told somebody Jesus loves you, or, you know, and they just start weeping and they think, man, that's a profound word. And you're like, whatever. But it was a profound word. Jesus loves you is a profound word. It's a very profound word, man. My pastor stole this from somebody else. He said, let love hit its mark. If you feel affection for somebody, it's probably not your affection. If you're feeling like this burning affection for somebody, it's the Holy Spirit coming on you to love somebody else and extend the kingdom. And as you open your mouth with the prophetic word, then God will fill it with the profound prophetic word. But as a people, as you create this in your midst, as you build up one another, and that's why you find out what each other's dreams are. Because the thing, God wrote your DNA. Your desires, your new creations. Your heart is good. Did you know that? Your desires are good. The Lord that wrote your DNA is the God that's called you into it. So a lot of times your desire to be on the worship team, go on a mission trip, you know, get this type of job is the voice of heaven. And so when you rally behind that person and each other, behind the voice of heaven, then you're building up the church and you're warring with God's voice. Look at this. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. It's something that Luz taught us. Prophecies aren't little kids' toys. Prophecies aren't just for goosebumps. Prophecies are weapons of warfare. Another thing that Lou, you know, it's through this book, it's called... if I can remember it, Windows of the Soul. There's this quote in it, but Lou just, he reads this book and he taught us, you know, God speaks in everything. You could be watching it. Okay. What's that? Sure, that'd be awesome. I just want to be able to see people too, still too. God speaks to us. It could be a TV commercial that God talks to you. But when he talks to you, treat it as a holy thing. The voice of God is the most precious thing we have. So there's this Mary Williamson quote. It says, the whole earth is crammed full of the glory of God. And every bush of flame. And those who notice take off their shoes. And those that don't just pick blackberries. Whoa. You're not a blackberry picking bunch. It's not who you are. You're called to carry the word of the Lord into this region in a massive way. And the reason I encouraged you to the lot for the lost is because it's on your house, yeah. But because I want you to know that the weapons that you have are going to bring breakthrough of this dam. This thing that people have said, oh, it's too hard, it's too hard, it's too hard. Well, it's in the voice of the prophets that the church is built. Edification. It's in the voice of the prophets that the army is rallied. Exhortation. It's in the voice of the prophets that the wounded are comforted. And they get back up, healed, and ready to swing the sword again. The word of the Lord right now that God is speaking has come away with me. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. The word of the Lord right now is the winter is over and gone. The time of singing has come. The word of the Lord right now is Isaiah 54 where it says, sing, O barren. You who have not bore, more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married. The word of the Lord right now is the Lord your God is in your midst. Yes. And it's been the word of the Lord since Emmanuel came. You know that? Since Jesus came. Since the angels trumpeted, glory to God in the highest. Peace among men with whom he takes pleasure in. That all of a sudden, that time, the season of sin, it was broken by the sacrifice of Jesus. And it's a different day that we're in. We're in the day of people that are broken and barren, all of a sudden becoming the most fruitful place because they drank from water that's living. Because the living God came and encountered them and spoke into their thirst and spoke into their being. The gift of evangelism is going to look so radically different in the time that we live in because people that walk in union with God are going to flow out of union with God and read their mouth insanely. And they're going to carry the presence of God in such a radical way that we're not just going to tell them about God, they're going to have an experience with God when we come around them. And where he says, I didn't choose you, you didn't choose me, I chose you, it was backwards, so I preached it backwards. Where it says in John 15, I'm going to read it. John 15, he says, you know, Jesus is talking about abiding in the vine. And he said, you know, oh, it's the Father's good pleasure that you would bear fruit. Then I can stop right now. It's the happiest word. It's just the Father's good pleasure that you would bear fruit. And that your fruit would remain. Yeah. It's the Father's good pleasure. That's why he sent his Son to live inside you. Yes. It's that you would demonstrate Emmanuel, God with us. That the winter is past for humanity. Comfort, comfort my people. Declare to humanity that Jesus drank the cup of wrath. Declare to humanity that there's a God that loves. And he says, listen, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That's good. It's like I got smashed when you were saying, we didn't cut covenant with God, God cut covenant with us. That's good news. So the covenant keeper is not just Roger or you. The covenant keeper is God. Yes. This is the word of the Lord. That the time has changed. The season has shifted. That the land's going to be filled with a new song. That talks about the Father heart. That talks about the beauty of Jesus. You know that one thing I've asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. 27:4. There's a scripture. Look it up in the Hebrew. Look up that word, one thing, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. You know what that word means, to gaze? to prophesy. It doesn't just mean to look at, but it also means to prophesy. So there's a people in this season that God's raising up in the earth that look at His beauty and declare it. That look at His beauty and declare it. Oh, start reading Song of Solomon. It's your journey. It's your story. Read it. It's your journey into fullness. Read that story. I'm all about journey. A lot of times we condemn ourselves when we see where we're at with God. And that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is He wants to be with you. And the heart of God is that He's transforming you. That as you gaze upon His beauty, He transforms you into the same image. So if you spend most of your time with God feeling sorry about what you did wrong, oh. That's what my wife would say was wrong, oh. Sorry. Kind of, I'm sorry. Wrong, oh, is not, or sorry is not what, saying sorry is not what He's primarily called you to. Primarily, He's called you to be with Him. And so He wanted access. That's why He gave His blood. He wanted you near Him. And there's a burning hearted company that's arising in the earth. Where a half an hour of worship, an hour of worship, 24 hours of worship isn't enough. Where they're listening to worship songs in the car. As soon as they get home, they're turning them on. You know, they're listening to them when they're in the toilet if they can on their iPhones, you know. There's something insane happening in the earth because Jesus has always wanted to marry us. He's always wanted to marry us. So what if that's the thing you declare? There's a wedding. I love Jesus. I love Him. I love His stories. I love His words. Everything He talks about. I love Him. I love that He tells that parable about the wedding feast. And He says, there's a bunch of people that were distracted, you know. Tells that there, you know, there's a servant. You know, there's a master that wanted to throw a great feast. So he told the servants, go and invite everybody to come. And so the servants went out and everybody was busy. You know, they got a house or they just got married or they, you know, just had some other thing that happened. And then the master comes, then they come back and the master says, go out to the highways and the byways. Yeah. And you go get the crippled and the lame and the blind and the hurting. Wow. That smashes me. I don't even know where to go, to be honest with you guys, in my preaching. But just to say, man, there is a table that's set. And we're believers, we get to have communion. But there's so much more than just that. Having the ritual. It's not a ritual thing. It's a table that He set. He wants to feed us on His word. He wants to feed us on encounter. And He wants us to talk about that table and set it right in the midst of the broken and the hurting and the outcast. He wants us to say, yeah, you may have had five husbands, but really what you want is you want some water. And then we're rallied together as a people that know how to build one another up. That know how to exhort one another to be together. You know, if you start encouraging one another and practically spending time and praying for each other, you'll become something that people out there will come and run in here. They'll run in here because the whole world's looking for love. The whole earth. They're looking for love. They're looking for encounter. They're looking for family. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And for me, prophecy is love. And maybe that was, you know, I remember when I first came back to Jesus and I would be telling my leader, my YWAM leader, I would be telling him, I see this demon on this person and that demon, you know, that demon. And he said, Roger, just go pray for him. And then I would just spend my time crying out to Jesus for them and praying for them. And then finally somebody, you know, and then I would, then every once in a while I would pray for them. And when I would pray for them, they would get blasted. Because what I started to learn how to do was to form Jesus in them in my prayers. Because I saw their demon, but then I began to pray, and then I got a hold of God's heart. And as I got a hold of God's heart, I began to pray God's heart for them. And then when I would start to see them transformed, and when I would prophesy over them, it would be like they would be transformed into another person. And this is how you walk in a great power of prophecy. You want to prophesy? Love. You want to prophesy in power? You see something funky about somebody? Cry out to Jesus for them. Remember I started, I wanted to go back to the skinhead gang. And I was praying for my friend Peanut on the phone. I was praying for my friend Peanut. He was a gangbanger with me. Crying out for salvation. And, that morning the demons had just tried to just pull me and get me to just leave. And run back and join the gang. And I just started, you know what, devil, you're a liar, and started crying out and loving and prophesying over my friend. And I get done out of my prayer meeting, and I answer, the phone's ringing at the YWAM base, this pay phone's ringing. It was random. So I answer it, it's my friend Peanut, who had just given his heart to Jesus, and who was radically touched, and we started singing the same. I start singing this song, and it's the same, his favorite song too. It's bubbling. Whatever. I'm just telling you the testimony. Lay hands on one another in the spirit. Pray for one another. You want to see God move? You want to have the gift of prophecy? Give yourself to a life of prayer. I mean, we did this in our J-Hop. We're doing it in Oroville. And we were open-handed. Be open-handed with your body. You know, God's going to raise up some of you guys if you truly have a prophetic spirit in your midst, where you're going to raise them up to be church planners. And you're going to raise them up to be people that are sent. And they're going to be sent out of your love and your affection and your warring for them. I mean, every person that was part of our J-Hop, because we established a community of love, established the house of prayer when they left J-Hop. And I'm not saying it was because we were so great. I'm saying it was because we loved. And we made one another more important than the other. I know this isn't a rah-rah. I stop apologizing. You say, hey, this is Lou Engle's son. You know, I'm like, I just feel the pressure of a rah-rah message. But my message is love. Love, 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 love. Love one another and love them. But if you establish this in the home base, and if you give it away to the Church of Rochester or wherever we're at, where are we? Greece? The Church of the Region? I'm going to say it again, then I'm going to turn it over after I... No, I'm not going to do that. Anyways... I'm going to say it again. You guys have an anointing to encourage the church of your region. You guys have an anointing to walk in a spirit of prayer that forms Christ in this region. And that's all I got.
That's the passion of the next generation. And the one after it's going to be even greater than that. And the one after it will be exponentially greater than the one after it. Thank you, Roger. I guess the kids didn't go out. T- 10 days ago, the Lord spoke to me to speak to the elders about how do we more effectively evangelize our community. So, get ready for miracles.
Yes.
This year, they've already started. We've seen people with, what was that disease? Parkinson's disease. Come in with a cane. Couldn't barely walk without people helping them, running around with. Some of you saw it when you were watching on the web. No one touched him except the Spirit of the Most High God and your prayers. Get ready for miracles. They're increasing. They don't take place just here. That's Roger's message. Our message has been turn yourself inside out. Come here, get refreshed, and go back out and do it. Why does it happen? Because you are a carrier of the kavod, the glory. That Hebrew word, by the way, starts with two bates. This is the year of bait, number two. This is a double glory year. Get ready to carry miracle-working power. And as we, the church, not just in Rochester, not just in New York, but the church begins to do what she's supposed to do, watch by the end of 2012, the leaders of this nation are going to be asking the bride for advice. They're going to be asking the church for help because of the miracle-working power that's on us. Don't hinder the prophetic gift that's in you. When someone needs a word, whether it be your boss, whether it be the CEO of the Eastman Kodak Company, they need a word. Whether it be President Obama, whoever the Lord takes your path upon, when he gives you that word, it's because he loves the person that's in front of you. And that's what Roger just told us. Release the word to them. I trust that some of you will be able to free your evening up and come out and support those who are rallying for the unborn and providing for those that are saved to have homes. We have a friend who has a vision of starting an orphanage, much like Mike had the vision of starting the Shepherd's House to help women be restored to productive roles in society. Our friend's vision is to start an orphanage, not just to get orphans off the street, but to identify the mountain they were called to take for Christ, encourage their giftings, impart life to them, and release them to be Daniels and Esthers and Josephs in the seven spheres that mold culture. That's a completely different paradigm from what you and I grew up with as an orphanage. That's the prophetic that the Lord is doing in the earth today. I love you all. Because you are going to turn this region upside down. God loves you. Because it's going to be his love pouring through you that turns this region upside down. Have a blessed week. Oh, and he didn't know this either. But next week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Casey and I are ministering in another church in the region because we got a call 2 weeks ago asking us exactly what he just said. So I affirm what you've said. It was a word that we needed to hear, and I just met Roger about 2 hours ago. I love you all. Have a blessed week.